The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred.
From the heart of darkness, here in our own personal misery, it's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man.
Whee!
Back for a second week. I think we did one last week, right?
Yes, yeah, we did the Batman v Superman.
It is April 19th, 2016, and you can rest assured that if you're listening to a show that Shannon's on, the day we record it is the day you hear it.
It's funny because it's not gonna be.
Okay.
I mean, depending on what time you get it uploaded, we might make it before midnight.
So it's a subtle shot at Cody and sports, the sports show, because they recorded it early because, you know, Tanner had that personal the family.
Because he could make
tragedy.
It in town.
Yeah. And then Jesse and I waited for it on Saturday, didn't see it. Mm-hmm. We're like, where's the sports show? It turns out it was waiting in our Gmail that we always plug on the show, but never check, because we just assumed
nobody's going to
email us.
Because nothing ever goes there.
Yeah. So it was waiting for us there the whole time. Cody put it up, Jesse put it up on, I want to say Sunday,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And my favorite thing is that it's Cody in the very beginning line says it's April 14th.
Mm-hmm.
It was labeled as April 16th and posted on April 18th. That's a 3-day span. Numbers. How do I shout web?
Why you do this, Spoderman?
Where's Spoderman? I need him right now. No, it's April 19th, and Asa Gray and myself, Shannon Young, we're here with you, as always, and it was a beautiful day outside today.
Yes.
I'm setting something up. The beautiful day to match the absolute misery you and I have experienced the past couple days. I don't know about you, but I feel like you've also been
just
down lately.
Yeah. I mean, mine's mostly just like panic attacks. Like, it's just cycling through again.
What I miss is when, like, I never thought I would say this, but I miss having panic attacks for no reason. I know that sounds like one of the dumbest things I've ever said, and that's saying something.
I did have someone ask me, because, like, it was a couple days ago at work, and someone asked me, like, oh, you seem kind of on edge. What's going on? I was like, oh, you know, I had a panic attack last night. It's kind of carried over into day. I'm, you know, just pushing through it. And, like, oh, well, why? And like, I don't know, because my brain doesn't work right.
Because it's a panic attack.
Yeah, but like, why would you do that? Like, it was like, I'm like, I don't know. It sounded fun.
Like, you woke up and you chose to keep
it going.
I was
like, you know what? You know what sounds like a good time? I'm just going to.
Laying in bed yesterday thinking I was going to die was so much fun. I'm going to take that to my workplace.
I'm going
to
bring this energy to work.
Yeah.
People really respond to it.
I used to lay in bed at night and just freak out, like full on panic mode, start breathing. Like, it, I don't know about you, but like, it feels like your chest is compressing. You literally feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, people will tell you all the time about panic attacks. It legitimately feels like you are going to die. Like, it's not a joke.
And especially, it's another thing too, where it's, you can't catch your breath. You can't, like, you, it's, your body feels like it's just shutting down.
Yeah,
like,
it's a feeling of doom.
And even when you know, like, it's something that I've been working on, is just recognizing, oh no, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
My brain is just broken.
Yeah.
Just make it through and it'll be okay.
Right.
But even like with that knowledge, like, no, this is the one.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
And
you need, are your affairs in order? Like, God, do you know?
God forbid you ever think of something bad during the panic attack. Because I've had panic attacks where I've gone to the bathroom, 3 o'clock in the morning, I just have a panic attack. I go to the bathroom, I slap myself across the face a few times, and I say, you're not dying. You're fine. Nothing is wrong. But if ever I lay in bed with a panic attack and all of a sudden I think, oh God, I'm going to die someday. Triggered. All of a sudden, it is 40 times worse, and there's no controlling it at that point. There have been so many times I've laid in bed with the knowledge that someday I'll cease to exist, and that has caused me to not sleep for days. And what an awful thing to be afraid of. That one thing that you can't stop.
The inevitability.
The inevitable thing. I've had a rough couple of days myself with a reason, and I told you I wanted to talk about this.
Right.
And I want to talk about it, because I was going to write an article about this for Blogzilla.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to Blogzilla's page, you're going to notice that we're still advertising WrestleMania from last year. So there's a good chance we don't update that page very much anymore. So a better place to put it would be here with my voice, so you can hear it and love it.
Those sweet dulcety tones.
So a little bit of, well, where do I start with this? Can I give you the story and our listeners the story?
I don't really care, so I'm just going to take a nap.
Don't have a panic attack.
No.
Don't trigger. So the story starts yesterday. I'll say this and then we'll go back. It'll be like one of those things where you start in the middle and then flashback and then go forward. What do you call those?
It's a flash forward movies. And a flashback.
Yeah. Should we do the nah. So yesterday I get a phone call from my brother's, I guess she would be my
sister-in-law.
Even though my brother and I are half brothers. Because I don't have any full-blooded family, mm-hmm. you know, other than my parents who passed away, obviously, years ago. But she calls. It's my sister-in-law. Her name, well, should I say names?
Nah.
I probably shouldn't say names.
Yeah.
But she calls and asks, you know, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Did you hear what happened? And I said, no, I didn't hear what happened because I don't speak to these people anymore mm-hmm. at all. You hear me say on this show, Shannon doesn't have any family. It's not a joke, and you're about to find out why. But she calls and she says the sister died. Mm-hmm. My brother's wife passed away last week on Tuesday, and she wanted to know if I heard about it. Well, clearly I hadn't, and she asked if I would call my brother and talk to him because he was upset. I haven't talked to my brother in probably 3 years, and the last time I talked to him was only because he had just got out of heart surgery, and there was a chance he wasn't going to survive, mm-hmm. and he desperately wanted to speak to me. So I did, because I'm not cold-hearted. But this particular time, I didn't want to call, and here's why. The reason I don't speak to my family anymore, the reason that we don't speak at all, is because my father, you remember the floods a couple years ago mm-hmm. that hit Illinois really bad and Olive Branch and those places? Because again, we're here in Cape Girardeau. We're in southeast Missouri, right in the Midwest. And my father had to move. So he moved out of our trailer, because I used to live in a trailer in Illinois, and he moved to live with my brother and his wife. And that was fine. Even though it was kind of strange, because what they did for my father was they set him up in, you know, one of those little barn type things you see on the street when you drive by and they're selling them. Like, they look like little homes. They're like little boxes.
Oh, like those little like model storage homes. Things. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he lived in that. They moved a bed into it, a chair, and a little table. So he lived in this little building right outside of their trailer, because they live in a trailer, mm-hmm. and that was his home. Now, as bad as that sounds, where I'm from, my father did not take care of it, especially once I moved out, mm-hmm. so that trailer was awful. When the last time I went to that trailer to get my cat, because they had left my cat there, and I couldn't leave my cat right out there. So I went back with my friend Mimi. Actually, no, this time it was with Bob and a couple of the guys. I think Lindsay was there. We went there to go get it. I had to break down the trailer door because it was locked. Actually, my friend Jeff broke it down with a sledgehammer because he said we didn't know how to break in properly. He's in jail now as well. I just want to point that out. We break it down, and we go inside, and it's the most decrepit crypt that you would ever see. It smelled like cat piss. It smelled like dog piss. There was literally a baby bird like fused into the ground screaming at us as we're walking by. It was a nightmare, a absolute nightmare. Thank God he moved out of that. So this little home of his, even though it seems kind of like what you would live in that, mm-hmm. it was actually a million times nicer than where we lived. So he lives in this. Everything is going okay, so I thought. My dad gets really sick. They find out that he's not getting circulation to his leg. They have mm-hmm. to amputate the leg. So they amputate the leg. We all take turns taking care of him. I stay with him, they stay with him, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For the longest time, it looks like he's not going to make it. I mean, it was bad. I was preparing myself for the worst. He did make it. But sometime during this, I guess his needs became too much for my brother's wife to handle. Now, one thing you have to understand about my brother's wife, and to a lesser extent my brother, is that they're both addicts. Like, he with marijuana and some other things, she with meth and the harder stuff. I showed you a picture of her earlier. She's 48. She looked like she was 60.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So they couldn't handle it at this point. And unbeknownst to me, abuse starts happening. I don't know it. I've noticed my dad has a bruise here or there. My dad always has bruises. He has really his skin and his blood. He, you know, he had heart problems.
Yeah.
So his blood was really thin. It was bad. One day I'm working at Shoe Carnival, which is my former place of employment, and I get a phone call from this woman. I think it's an emergency mm-hmm. because why would she be calling me at work? So I answer the phone and she's not speaking to me. Instead, I hear her in the background yelling and screaming and hitting what turned out to be my father. She's abusing him. So I immediately call her back and say, what the fuck's going on? Why? What was that noise I heard? And she tried to make up some excuse. I saw my father. He had a bruised eye, a black eye. He mm-hmm. had bruises all over him and a broken finger. As it turns out, she was abusing him. She was beating him. Mm-hmm. She tried to give me the excuse that he hit her back and that he was hitting her first, which for my father, sure, that might be true because he was kind of a bastard, my father. I won't lie. He wasn't a good man. I loved him, but he wasn't a good man. But he also had one leg. He was in his 70s, and after a lifetime of just never taking care of himself, he couldn't even get out of his chair unless someone helped him. Mm-hmm. She tried to tell me that he got out of his chair and chased her around with one leg and hit her, which is a complete lie.
Right.
So at this point, they put my father in a home because now the secret's out, and she doesn't want anything to do with him anymore. Mm-hmm. My father tries to tell the people there that he was abused and that, you know, he doesn't want to go in there and he wants to go to a nicer place. And my brother, when asked, is that true? Was there abuse? Did she abuse him? Lied and said, no, he's making it all up. And it was at that point, that was the last time I spoke to my brother until the heart problems. And my father asked me never to speak to him. Mm-hmm. I was going to turn them into the police, but my dad still cared about him, so he asked me not to because he didn't want to get in trouble because of all the drugs that were in the house.
Right.
So I didn't. I honored my father's wishes. The last thing I said to this woman, because she knew I knew, mm-hmm. and she knew I had it out for her, and at this point I flat out hated her. I never liked her. Now I hate her. And the last thing she texts me constantly. She had my number. She's texting me constantly, insulting me, calling me names. The last thing she said to me that really set me off was when my mom passed away, I didn't stay at the hospital. I couldn't. It was too painful for me.
Right.
That is the legitimate truth. I did not want to be there when my mother died. But she called me a coward, said you couldn't even be there when your mother passed away. You know, we were there and you weren't. So I told her, if you ever speak to me again, I'm going to the police and you will be arrested. Mm-hmm. Last time she ever said anything to me. So flash forward years later to yesterday, I haven't spoken to either of these people in so long, any of the family.
Well, and part of that, too, was not only to kind of rewind, and I don't want to tell your story for you.
No, go ahead.
When your father did pass away, he told you that he didn't want your brother and his wife to know.
Yeah, he didn't want anyone to know. He didn't want the family to know because there were times that he would write other members of the family and say, can I stay with you?
Mm-hmm.
I told him he could stay with me. But because of where we live and the stairs, he could not get up and down. It was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried these other people, you know, can I stay with you? Nobody responded. Mm-hmm. They didn't say no. They never replied.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, I was the only one that visited my father. I visited him almost every day. I took him food. I did everything I could for him.
And this was about the time that you and I kind of met and started becoming friends. Because I remember you constantly like, oh, well, I have to go see my dad.
Yeah.
I have to go bring this to my dad. Like, you were constantly doing things, taking things to him, just going and visiting him, spending time with him.
Yeah, because I didn't like my father a mm-hmm. lot, but I loved him.
Right.
You can love someone and not like them.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was the thing she followed up with, though, the sisters, my sister-in-law, or my brother's wife's sister, my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me, I don't mean to be crass, mm-hmm. her literal words, I don't mean to be crass, and I'm making her sound way more intelligent than she really is, by the way. But she said, where's Willard, which was my father's name? And I said, I finally told him, Dad died 2 years ago. He told me not to tell you because you turned your back on him, so that's what I did.
Yeah.
And, so she wants me to call my brother, and I don't want to call him, and it makes me feel awful. And yesterday I had kind of a breakdown the whole day because mm-hmm. I thought I was done with that. I thought I was done with that family completely. I someday expected them to call me to tell me my brother died
mm-hmm.
because he's not in great health. And if that were to happen, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I go to the funeral or whatever. But this woman that they want me to call him and give him condolences for, I don't want to because I don't like her.
Right.
There were so many times, and, you know, Allie and Lindsay and all these other people tell me what a great person I am, but there were times that I just flat out said I wish she were dead. Like, not, and I meant it. Like,
right.
It wasn't one of those things you say. I wanted her to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get this call that says she is dead. And now I'm like, what the fuck? I never thought I'd get this call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care that she's dead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little sad she's dead because I don't like when people die. Right. But I don't care that she's dead. And I almost don't care that my brother is in misery because I don't recall him a single time getting in touch with my father or me when that woman had her claws into him and kept him drugged up and drunk, which is what she did. Mm-hmm. Never did they talk to us at all. But now they want my condolences. They want me to reach out and make him feel better about it. And the more I talk about it, the angrier I get. Because at first I felt bad for him and I thought, well, his wife died. He is my brother. At one point I loved this man. Maybe I should call him and say, hey, if you need me, I'm here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not there because he was never there.
Right.
So why the fuck should I care that he's in pain now?
And to me, it's, again, like, I don't – it's so easy to, like, at least for me, like, I get that, like, that feeling of anger. And because, you know, they treated your father so poorly, like, they, you know, at best ignored him, but then at worst, like, physically actually abused him.
And lied
and hurt
about
him.
It. Yeah.
So it's one of those things where we've talked about, like, in relation to something completely different, like – I don't personally believe that, you know, if people are toxic in your life and are just empirically, like, bad for you, even if it is, you know, blood family, blood relatives, like, it isn't necessary that you really need to keep them around.
Yeah.
You know, you should always be on the lookout for yourself and what is best for you. So if these people are doing things that are, you know, physically hurting you, emotionally hurting you, you know, it's okay to cut them out of your life. Like, I know there's always been such, you know, strong family values, and, you know, and while, you know, if they weren't that bad, you know, if they, you know, at the worst, you know, said a rude comment or something, you know, okay, get over it, you know, oh, they hurt your feelings, big deal.
Yeah.
But this is physical. well beyond that.
Yeah.
It's well beyond, you know, oh, well, she was just rude to me. Like, no, she physically attacked your father. And
she was rude to everybody. Like, yeah. that's the other thing that gets me. And, by the way, it broke my father's heart when his son lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't – my dad was a really proud person. He didn't show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But he cried. It broke his heart when his son took this woman's side instead of his.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart to see it. It's – I'm loyal. I think anyone that knows me, for all of my faults, because there's a ton of them, one thing you can't deny is that I'm loyal. I'm loyal to everybody that I care about. Like, even people like Lonnie. I don't know if he's listening or not. There have been times he's just angered me in ways that I don't normally get angry. Like, flat out insulted me on things. But I'm still loyal to him, and I mm-hmm. fight for his family and for the money that I make them. So I'm extremely loyal to my family, especially my father. And for me to turn my back on my family
mm-hmm.
took a lot for me. And I lived with that guilt for a long time. But at the same time,
and
I agree
even,
absolutely with
and
what
I
you
don't
said.
Even, and I don't even know if it's you turning your back on them as much as they turned their back on you guys.
Originally,
very
yeah.
clearly.
Yeah.
And now that they need something or want something, it's very easy for them to just be like, oh, well.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
And she asked me, she said, I know you guys don't talk much anymore. You know, we all have busy schedules. And I thought,
that's
you
not
know
why,
why
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know why I don't speak to them.
Right.
Or if you don't, then you have been living under a rock for the past 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I came back from Jackson because I was working at the gaming grounds over there. And as I'm coming back, I didn't even notice it. Or maybe I did notice it earlier, but I just didn't. It didn't click.
Mm-hmm.
But there on the Taco Bell sign, it says, we love you, her name. And I thought, I laughed because I thought, really? Did you know her? Because I did. And what an awful human being she was. A liar and a manipulator and a drug addict. Someone that would, her and her husband would come over to our house because they were friends with Al. And when the husband would leave to go buy more alcohol, her and Al would fuck around until he came back. And then she left him for him. I know I said my brother's name. Oh, well, I don't care. But just, It makes me so mad, and I feel so guilty for being mad because this person's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the good part of me that says, man, just let it go. But it's so hard to let it go because I hate this woman.
To me, I think it'll be easier to let it go in given time because right now it's just it's opening up stuff that you thought you weren't going to have to deal with again.
Old wounds.
So, yeah. So it, you know, it's opening this up, and it's you're almost reliving the initial feelings versus dealing with what's actually happening currently.
Yeah. And the other parts that made me feel bad about it, because I was in a bad mood yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I did some stupid things when I was in a bad mood. I sent Allie away completely. Mm-hmm. I said, I need to be alone. I sent her away completely. And then I went home and found comfort with Lindsay, because Lindsay and I went through this together. Like, this wasn't just before any of this happened. Lindsay and I dealt with this together. She was there for me through all of that. Mm-hmm. So my first instinct was, I need to go see her. And I feel bad about that, too. I just feel bad about a lot of things. And I thought talking about it would make me feel better, but mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help. I thought getting it out would maybe, like, I don't know, give me some kind of peace or something. But right. it doesn't. I don't feel any different. Maybe angrier.
Yeah, I mean it's a terrible thing. Like, it just kind of it all sucks. Everything is awful.
Everything is awful. I'm sure that's a parody song already.
It has to be.
But if it's not, I gotta get a hold of Emaciation, see if Curb can lay that track out for me. So that's really all I wanted to say. I just had to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
In the hopes that it would make me feel better, it hasn't. So if. For those of you that enjoyed a 20-minute story about my life, you know, thank you for listening.
I mean, it's the same people that probably listen to your two 45-hour-long solo shows.
45-hour-long solo shows. They sure felt like 45 hours. It was that Futurama.
I meant 45-minute to an hour, but I said it wrong because my brain works.
It was like Futurama. It took me that long to record it.
So it took me that long to record it, or it took me that long to write it. I thought it would take me that long to read it.
I completely messed up that quote there, too. But anyway, I did. I thought it was a different quote, and I wasted everyone's time again. Anyway, let's move on to something happier. Again, thanks for listening to me rant. That's kind of the point of this show.
I mean, pretty
much. By the way, those shows were very popular.
Yeah, see?
The two that I did by myself are, I know one of them is in the top 10 listened to of all time, the mm-hmm. one about Allie and Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And the one where I did just the one by myself about me. Also did very well. And I remember being so embarrassed by that. I came in the next day, and the first thing I do whenever we post a show, mm-hmm. when I come in the morning, is I'll check the numbers, mm-hmm. because I'm like a ratings whore. I've turned into that. And it got huge numbers. And I remember going, oh, God, why?
Why this one?
Why this one? The one where I'm whining for 45 minutes about my life.
Well, I mean, and clearly it didn't do anything to, like, dissuade people, or we've just gotten all new people to replace any of the ones that tuned out.
That's true.
So...
That's the one thing about this place is that
I get the same feeling because I've had people at work and just like friends of mine be like, oh, hey, I listened to one of your shows. And I'm just like, ew, why? What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the one that I'm on? Oh, no, don't tell me that because I don't.
Do you still like me?
I don't want that feedback.
Yeah.
Like it's equal parts like, please tell me how good it was and how much you enjoyed it. But at the same time, don't mention me at all in it or anything that I've done because I don't want to know. Because it's weird. It's like, why are we even doing this?
It took me forever to be able to listen to the shows and not cringe.
Oh, yeah, no. I was the same way. And even still, because I hate my voice played back on these shows so much. Like,
You think you sound like one thing and then you sound like something?
No, yeah. It's like there's a thing where it's like you sound lower in your – like you register lower in your own brain just because of the way your head is. Hmm. So like the acoustics in your own head make you perceive the sound differently. And then when you hear it back through like headphones or speakers or something and you sound – oh, this is what other people hear when I talk.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Ew.
I don't want to hear that.
The way that I sound up here is way better than out here. I'm sorry, internet. Like – that you have to listen to this.
I remember when Jesse first started doing like Pentanerd especially. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesse has a very good speaking voice. Just his natural voice is great.
I want to be Ursula. Like I want his voice. I want to steal it. I'm coming for you.
Except when he did Pentanerd, because he would try to make it deeper. Yeah. I guess because he was afraid of how he would sound. Mm-hmm. So he would start every show with, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pentanerd.
The awkward, like, radio voice.
Yeah. Everybody tries to do a radio voice. The first time I did a podcast, the test podcast I did years ago, mm-hmm. I think it was Justin Mann, who's probably not listening. I wish he was, because I like Justin. But he told me, because he's actually a DJ, mm-hmm. and he was like, you sound good, but you need to really pep it up and have a radio voice. So I tried. Like, I recorded other ones, and I tried to do the radio voice, and I realized I don't like that. I'd rather just – that's why I like the podcast. I can just sound like me.
Well, and I honestly think if you go and listen to, like, any show that you and Jesse host, I don't notice it as much with Cody, and I definitely didn't with Hunter, but I think it's just because of the fact that they worked in – they, you know, work in radio.
Yeah, they're actual DJs.
So they're so used to it. But, like, the opening minute of every show that we do – like the intro is always, it always kind of feels like a little bit radio-y, but then once the actual show starts,
yeah,
and it goes into everyone's normal speaking voice, it's just, it kind of like evens out.
Well, when we used to do the intros to the shows, like go back, if you're new to Podzilla 1985, go listen to the old shows we did just for nostalgia value,
mm-hmm.
Because when we started it and I would intro the show, I would just go, hey, what's up, guys? Another episode of Podzilla 1985.
Yeah.
And I realized as we grew as an entity and more people were listening that we really need to make it sound a little bit more official.
Yeah.
So, of course, like I do with most things in life, I tried to steal inspiration from people that are better than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I stole from George Nori, who hosts Coast to Coast AM, because if you ever listen to Coast AM, which I recommend, it's a fantastic nightly radio show. You can listen to it online on the interwebs, the different radio stations, or if you have actual radio, who has that anymore? But George Noe, whenever he hosts the show, how does it go? It's something like good morning, good evening, wherever you are, from the gateway to the west, because he does it out in St. Louis. He has the same intro that he does for every show,
mm-hmm.
and I love that because you know who's hosting just by the intro,
right?
So with this show. I try to do the whole, you know, I wrote it down. This took me a while to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
From historic, or from downtown, what is it?
From the heart of Broadway.
From the heart of Broadway, here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, you nailed it. You finally got it done.
But it went so well, everyone else stole it too. There was a period there, I listened to Hunter introduce the show, and he was like, from the heart of Broadway. I was like, no, 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 you're actually good at this. You can't steal mine.
Uh-huh.
Jesse tried once, but he did it backwards.
Well, no, you guys tried to do it at the same time, like for one of the episodes where that you were both on. You tried to do like the dual intro, and no, that was the one you messed up. Or
yeah.
Well, I mean, Jesse might have messed it up on a different one. I don't remember, but the one that because he asked which one it was, like which order it came in, and you're like this way, and then you did it backwards anyway.
Thank God, entertaining. That's over. That's stopped now. Yeah, I've pretty much resorted to stealing Hunter's old intro for Pro Wrestling Unscripted,
because mm-hmm.
Hunter would always do it, and he would always do it really well because he had a joke for every intro.
Yeah,
so he would say, you know, like the following podcast scheduled for one fall, and it is for, and then he would have a joke
and
to go along
like,
with it
about what we were going to talk about that week. Yeah,
he's very clever. I can't do that. I don't do clever.
Yeah,
I just do off the cuff.
See, and that's so. Yeah, I'm trying to write anything out like as a plan. Like I did that. I wrote out the like Paul Heyman parody intro I was going to do, and I was just like, no.
It doesn't feel as good. It feels so much better to just talk than to try to recite something. The way we used to do the shows here is Allie's sitting here with a notepad and a laptop, and she's writing stuff down. And that's how the old shows used to look. I had a notepad with mm-hmm. notes everywhere jotted down, and I would try to read them off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was a little bit more informative back then, but at the same time, it also sounded so fake.
Well, and I think the difference is because, like, on shows like Nerd Up, where Jesse has his notepad of, and the way you do Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where like, or how we've started doing it these last few weeks, where we have a list of topics.
Yeah,
we don't necessarily have point by point that we need to say verbatim,
right?
Like we used
I used to do,
right?
Yeah,
and then even on, you know, some of the more serious shows, like we're gonna have that politics show coming up eventually.
Yeah,
like
we'll see
I'm
what
sure,
happens to Trump.
I'm sure people are going to actually have like points and numbers and facts written out that they can bring up and cite, as opposed to like what we end up doing, which is like, well, this sounds like it would make sense, but I don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah, with a show like the politics show, I don't want to sit here and go, well, Trump sucks.
Right.
He doesn't want to help anybody.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, what makes you say that? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's true.
Cite your sources, bro.
Right, right. Pretend we're back in college.
No, please.
Hey, so we watched not to switch topics here, but that's kind of what we do. We watched a trailer earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that trailer just real quick? Yeah. I want to talk about it because I could not believe that this was a thing. If you've ever seen the movie God's Not Dead, you only watched it because Kevin Sorbo was in it. If you watched it for any other reason, Allie, you did it wrong. But it is a movie about, and I don't know the exact plot, but it's about a professor who wants a student to admit that God's dead.
Yeah, he's like a philosophy professor.
Played by Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah.
Hercules himself as a philosophy professor. That's like Tara Reid as the nuclear scientist in one of the Bond movies.
It's like... And it's one of those things where it's like, of course he knows God. I guess Kevin Sorbo would know better if God is dead. Like, it's his dad.
Yeah. And Kratos killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Kratos killed all of them.
Oh, they're going to do the Norse mythology, God of War, maybe, and I'd want it.
I would rather play that because I hated God of War.
You're so wrong.
No, I didn't hate the game. I hated the protagonist.
Oh, yeah, Kratos was awful.
He was a terrible, like, his whole, and it's not even his, all right, we're talking like he's a real person. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault any more than it's Bayonetta's fault she's a whore. Obviously, people write the character.
Right.
So they wrote Kratos as this vengeful guy who wants to, he killed his family under the influence of the gods, and he wants revenge because he loved his family. But that won't stop him from banging every single woman he comes across.
I mean, he decapitates some of them without sleeping with them.
The ugly ones.
The ones with snakes for heads.
The ones with flat chests.
If
you're a B cup or under, back of the wall.
Enzo Amore. Whether you love us or hate us, we're A cups because we're real. Whether you love us or hate us.
God bless them.
But no, like, because, and yeah, his character was not good. It's really annoying, especially when you think about, like, the blind rage that he was sent into under Ares led to him killing his family.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But then his entire thing is led by rage, which is what ultimately killed his family. So it's, you're not learning anything. Like, there's no, but to be fair, it's like going to like a B action movie and expecting some real in-depth character work.
It's like going to Sharknado and expecting Citizen Kane.
Yeah. It's for what it is. It's great. Like, yeah, Kratos is annoying, but oh, that just, it's brutal.
It was a satisfying game.
And it's a great, that's one of my favorite genres of games.
The 3D action type thing.
Action platformer.
I really liked Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, the first one, even though as a Castlevania purist, the plot...
It's not Castlevania.
It's not. It really bugged me. But I thought the game was fun because it took that God of War thing but made it gothic in a way, like there were werewolves and stuff like that.
It changed. Like, and that's kind of why I didn't like it, because I'm actually the one that traded in that collection.
I know, and I'm the one that bought it. Which we could have just met up beforehand on that one.
No, we would never do that. At Gaming Grounds here at 709 Broadway for all
you
your
can pre-order
games
there.
I've heard that.
Yeah, they also do tournaments weekly
and special orders.
Yeah,
but I didn't like it because it was a bad God of War game. Like it was like I don't have the Castlevania connection that you do. Like I've always enjoyed those games, but I wasn't upset that it was not like a traditional Castlevania game. I was upset because it's like, oh, it's trying to be God of War, but it's not as good at it.
Yeah.
So,
which there was another. I'm going to talk about another little game that did that, and then we're going to talk about that trailer that I brought up originally. There was a little game called Saints Row that came out that everyone was like, "Well, it's fun, but it's basically Grand Theft Auto, but it doesn't do it as well."
Right.
So Saints Row went, "All right,
fine,
fine."
Saints Row 2 came out
and was amazing. So Saints Row 2 was so much fun.
The way that I always describe it to people is Saints Row is Grand Theft Auto if instead of Grand Theft Auto kind of steering into like legitimate, really strong stories,
like gritty filmmaking.
Because 4 and 5 had some great stories. Yeah. Like those would be great movies.
Right.
Saints Row went because Grand Theft Auto has always had the humor. It's like instead of focus on storytelling and character development, we're just going to go to the Just Cause side of things and blow everything up and kill everyone always.
It went all gameplay, like actual gameplay and humor. Like they made it fun.
Yeah.
And if you didn't think it was, because Saints Row 1 was just a flat out GTA clone.
Right.
Saints Row 2 was a GTA clone, but they did.
It was goofier.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
Then Saints Row 3 came out, and it was still somewhat realistic because it didn't happen in space
yet.
But then 4 came out,
and you have legit superpowers.
I still remember trying to sell people on it because they were like, "Oh yeah, I like Saints Row. How is it now?" Well, so this alien Zinyak comes to Earth and blows it up, and you're put in like a Matrix simulation, and now you have superpowers, and you're trying to free the other Saints. And they've already walked out the door at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
With 3 copies in their hand, because it's so good.
And they get home, and they're like, what did I just buy? I don't even understand this. I mean, one of the first things you do in Saints Row 4 is you jump on a giant American Eagle gunship shooting down UFOs.
Because your protagonist, the leader of the gang, the Saints, is now the president of the United States.
Only because he fell into the chair while disarming a nuclear bomb? Oh my god.
One of the very first things you do in that game is decide whether to sign the bill that ends world hunger or cures cancer.
And I love it because it says fuck cancer. That's all it says. Yeah. And Keith David is your vice president playing Keith David. And when I killed cancer, he said, it had a good run. I don't understand why people aren't playing that game right now.
I kind of want, like, I think I have it uninstalled because I bought the PS4 like remastered with Gat in Hell. Gat goes to hell.
Gat out of hell.
Gat out of hell.
Which by itself, the name alone wins.
Which literally is one of the Saints Row characters you have to rescue from Satan in hell.
By playing Johnny Gat, who, and this blows people's minds. This is going to blow your mind. All right, if you don't know the Saints Row series that well, mm-hmm. but you know who Johnny Gat is, he is a loudmouth street thug who is Asian, right? Mm-hmm. Johnny Gat is played by Daniel Day Kim, who played the guy from Lost, the Asian guy from Lost, who could barely speak English. If you've ever played Saints Row, that man is just
the best.
Magnificent.
It's one of those things where they realize how good of a character he is and they have to take him out of the game because everyone just wants – they just want a Johnny Gat game.
Yeah.
Like, your protagonist, like, I always made him British.
Yeah.
Like, he was hilarious and awesome, but Johnny Gat stole the scene.
Every single scene
that he was in. So it's like, okay, well, he's actually dead. Oh, wait, no, he's not, but, you know, we just had to
think. He got rescued by aliens before he died.
We had to make you think he was dead because he's too entertaining.
Oh, my God. And he had I know this is turning into the Saints Row show now, but the best scene of my favorite scene of Saints Row is, have you played part two, the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
When they kill his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually buries the guy in the coffin and, like, buries him alive.
Mm-hmm.
That is a brutal scene for a funny game.
Yeah.
Like, that,
and it does, like, it has those moments where it's like, oh.
It has those real moments that punch you with the teeth. There's a hidden part in Saints Row 2 where you can go to the church of the old Saints neighborhood and meet up with Julius from the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up fighting off the bad guys from, what was the bad guy's name, the corporation?
I don't remember. Oh, I don't know.
Ultron.
Ultron? Rock?
Was it?
No.
Ultor.
That's what it was.
But you go, you fight off Ultor, and then because you're getting this big argument with Julius of, like, why'd you blow me up?
Mm-hmm.
Versus you were turning into a madman.
Mm-hmm.
And when Julius turns around, you shoot him in the face.
Yep.
I hated that, because I would not have done that. Saints Row 2 is where the series got really mean.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where you're at a bar, and you're, like, flirting with a girl. This guy comes up with a gun. You grab the girl and put her in front of you and let her die. And I'm like, man, this is mean.
Yeah, it really goes the whole, like, there's not redeeming qualities to these people.
At all. Until part 3. Like, part 3, they start to soften up a little bit. And then by part 4, part 3, they're celebrities.
Yeah.
By part 4, they're legitimate, like, secret government agents.
Yeah.
Who are stopping terrorists. That's such
because
a great
plot.
Because
you're the president of the United States.
Oh, my God. What a beautiful game.
Way
more beautiful than the trailer for God's Not Dead Part 2.
There's a
sequel. I posted a fake trailer on my Facebook from SNL, God is a Boob Man, which is, I thought, was the best parody trailer of God's Not Dead until I saw the actual trailer for God's Not Dead Part 2.
Right.
Ray Wise, who plays the vindictive prosecutor, who says my favorite line of all time is, we're going to prove once and for all that God is dead. In his best Vince McMahon voice.
Yeah. The judge breaking the gavel.
Who plays the judge?
Ernie Hudson.
The only Ghostbuster that never gets credit
on
the DVDs.
Who doesn't get to be on the box, yeah.
Oh, he gets so mad, and he breaks the gavel.
And Melissa Joan Hart is the lead, and then the guy who's in, like, every Melissa Joan Hart movie with her, because he has
Joey?
To be. Joey? I don't think it's Joey, but
no, it's Jesse Metcalf.
Is that who it is?
The guy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, so there's this huge debate online about whether or not the SNL skit was even a good satire. Because to satire something, you have to go, like, oh, highlight something that a thing is doing and, you know, times it by 100.
Right.
Really kind of over-exaggerate the way that it's going. But then you watch the actual trailer for God's Not Dead 2.
And it seems like it's the exaggerated trailer.
It seems like if you watch that, you could easily think that this is a parody.
Yeah, I did.
Like, you think it's a self-parody thing, but it's done completely seriously.
It's kind of like, have you ever seen Birdemic?
No.
It's...
Is that a sci-fi? It sounds like a sci-fi movie.
I will show you the trailer when this is done. And if you've never seen Birdemic, don't watch the movie.
Just watch the trailer.
Watch the trailer. We made the mistake. We saw the trailer, and it was one of those, this is so bad, we have to watch it type things.
Mm-hmm.
So me, Bob, Kevin, the Lord Master
Powers
of Godzilla 1985, and Jesse, we sat at my apartment and watched it. I'm pretty sure Bob and Jesse both fell asleep during it, and Kevin and I just curled up in a ball. Because what was a funny joke in the trailer is now an hour and 45 minutes of schlock. But then they put out Birdemic 2. which is a sequel, obviously. But now they've caught on to the fact
even that birdier.
Well, the first one was the first one was deadpan serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was not a joke. This right. guy thought he was making a legitimate thriller.
Mm-hmm.
But then Birdemic 2 came out and they knew that it was terrible. So now you can tell that they're kind of having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if the same thing about God's Not Dead 2. Like, they realized the first one was so, like, made fun of.
I don't.
Are they kind of pushing it to an extreme?
I have to imagine.
Our producer Allie's shaking her head no.
Yeah, I really don't think that they're that aware. They're not that self-aware. They're walking off the set. And just like, we're doing good work today. This is, you know, I don't want to jinx us, but
this is the
Oscar
one.
Season.
This is, it's like we're, Ed Wood. This is the one they'll remember me for, you know, Plan 9. I don't remember his name. It's like Tyrion Killen from SNL.
Taron Killen.
What is it?
Taron Killen? I know I'm saying that wrong, but.
Yeah, I'm going to mispronounce it too, but he plays one of the gay characters in the God is a Boob Man skit.
Right.
And he's so over the top, I thought, oh, they're going over extreme. But no, the characters in God's Not Dead 2 are way more extreme than his extreme parody character.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. I can't believe someone greenlighted this. And
we'll get the AC. How do we clear this without blood? Having the blood on our hands. We'll have the ACLU do it.
And
we'll bring the ACLU is like this shadow organization, like it's the puppet masters, like pulling the strings to arrest all of the Christians. Like, it's
they're
so,
waging the war in the shadows.
This is a war. That's a line.
That
from
is
the
a
movie.
Line from the movie.
This is a war.
Yeah.
Oh,
I am
because one of my favorite line from the parody is there's no one more persecuted in this country than Christians.
So when the woman goes, maybe.
I also really like that about the fake trailer is that all of the background characters kind of recognize how stupid everything that's happening is.
Yeah.
But like even the woman who doesn't want to say that God is gay and then the couple. That, you know, the evil gay couple.
Yeah.
They're also just super over the top.
Oh,
like,
yeah. There's a part where that gentleman, we're going to mispronounce his name again,
mm-hmm.
when he walks past her when she's sitting at the table, you know, in the court, he walks past and he knocks all of her papers over and then gives a little oops face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And yet, in some weird way, it's still not as exaggerated as the actual movie.
Yeah.
I now want to watch God Is Not Dead Part 2. We need to have a screening of it here.
You have fun with that.
Oh, come on. It would be hilarious.
I don't know.
In a very infuriating way.
See, it's kind of like my Donald Trump thing, where it's like, yeah, there's entertainment value to this, but the actual, like, real-world consequences of this thing existing kind of bums me out.
And I'm one of those people, like, I don't know how well-known it is, but I don't have a problem with religious people. I don't have a problem with religion. In a lot of ways, I feel like I am religious.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people like that in real life who are so extreme,
and
who are so oppressive that it makes you sick.
And that's exactly how I am too, like, because, and I'll be the first to admit that, like, it, an in-your-face, like, super loudmouth, obnoxious atheist is just as bad as the super in-your-face, loudmouth, obnoxious Christian
or religious person.
Or just religious person in general.
Or like, anyone that has a belief.
Yeah, and they won't just, like... Like, it's fine. Like, Allie and I are friends, and, like, we have drastically different views on religion. Cody and I are friends. We have drastically different views. It's like, but there's a respect there. It's like, okay, you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe.
I respect your right to
believe it. We're not actively, you know, trying to convince each other that the other one is wrong. There's not an argument, like, ongoing, just like, oh, well, you think this. I think less of you. No, it's just...
I like to think that there's a time when Asa and Allie talk, and then Asa walks to the bathroom and looks in the mirror and goes, one day I'm going to prove God is... Dead.
Finally, I will.
We'll get the
Tell
ACLU.
Me what you want to. I don't know why.
Let me that's going to be the intro song. I'm going to find the song from that trailer.
I don't know why, but that's the song that pops into my head for it.
It's the most upbeat, like just happy you did it song.
Yeah, it's.
I understand why Melissa Joan Hart did the film. What else is she really doing? Kevin Owens blocked
her. I was going to say, what else is she going to do? She's blocked by Kevin Owens on Twitter.
And Stardust.
Oh, and Stardust?
A lot of them took a stand, and just blocked her
really?
Flat out. Oh, yeah, it was
I knew
a
lot of
big
them were like,
thing.
I know a lot of them were standing with Owens.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that, like, maybe because I guess I need to start paying more attention to Melissa Joan Hart.
Zach does.
I feel like that's the first sentence that's the first time that sentence has ever been said.
That you need to play more, well, I don't know,
I need to pay more attention to Melissa Joan Hart.
No, I said that statement 20 years ago when Clarissa Explains It All was on. Because I was like, wow, she's pretty. And then Sabrina the Teenage Witch, wow, she's pretty. And then 1 year later, whatever happened to that girl? She's in God Not Dead too. And I think she still has the show Melissa and Joey.
I don't know if
that's a show.
I know it is, but I don't know if it's still happening.
I can't
or not.
Remember. What was the Joey's last name?
Lawrence?
Lawrence, yeah. The Lawrence brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Big on Blossom.
Oh my lord, it's so bad. Yeah. I can't, like, I keep, like, just various scenes are just, like, flashing in my head, and I can't.
Because I want to describe them all. Like, I'd love to give a rundown of the trailer.
Just the trailer breakdown. Yeah.
And I wonder, who goes to see this movie? Like, you are very clearly pointing this at a specific sect of people.
I'm assuming it's people that they think are going to, like, gather up in their vans and leave after service to go and see it as, like, a group activity.
And not just regular Christians. You have to be an uber Christian to really want to see this film.
I don't, like,
you have to be that kind of Christian that doesn't want to bake the cake, you know?
Kim Davis, Angel in Denim. Angel in Denim. Coming soon, apparently.
Speaking of 15 minutes of fame, she was a part of that, just taking it full circle, one of the first solo shows I did. I think I talked about Kim Davis. I'm almost positive. Because that was the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard. Yeah. What a hero she is.
No.
What a hero to... I hope she cameos in God's Not Dead, too.
I think she was the one... Grace, you didn't. Just like the super southern accent.
In the parody trailer for God is a Boo Man, my favorite part is when Bobby Moynihan is playing like the governor of that state. And they're telling him how they're like second in teen pregnancies and all these terrible things. And she walks in and he goes, wait, just say, ma'am, what's your problem? And she's like, I want to oppress people's rights or civil rights. And he just goes, everybody out. That's the priority. I love Bobby Moynihan. Well, I'm out of things to talk about. I'm so excited. I want to watch the trailer again. I don't want to do the show anymore. Shut it down. Damn it, Hunter. You damn bumper.
It's a thing that's people made. And... yeah,
I can't stop thinking about it. I wish we could post the entire trailer in this show.
Just like that's the last, like, we're cutting it off
the
early.
Last 4 minutes. Just, is just
like
that
we're
trailer.
Just gonna loop that trailer 3 times. Because I remember seeing the poster for it at Werenberg when I went and saw Batman v Superman, and I meant to take a picture and be like, really? Well, this is a thing.
The first one was, you know, to me the first one was kind of harmless.
Right.
Because it actually had a decent message of this professor who had terrible things happen to him, who now hated God,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, and someone stands up and says God's not dead and he has to prove. Like, that's, okay, that's not for me, but I can understand that being a decent story.
Right.
This, though,
is
at
like
least by the
actively,
trailer.
Like, Christians are being prosecuted. You see someone praying and then immediately, like, getting arrested.
Yeah.
Like,
there, and the whole setup for it is, at least according to the trailer, is she's in school. She's a teacher, Melissa mm-hmm. Joan Hart, and she's talking about love thy neighbor.
Yeah, well, no, she's talking about peaceful protest, nonviolent protest. And a student asks her, "Oh, isn't that like what Jesus taught?" And she just answers the question like, "Yes," and then she cites the scripture.
Yeah,
she
mentions that you're going to hear a lot of hate the or take care of your own and hate thy neighbor. Thy neighbor,
right.
and love the people that hate you.
And then it's a sneaky looking kid pulls out his phone and is like,
and
they texted their parents and said that did you talk about Jesus in the school? Well, I answered the question.
That should have been the end of the movie.
It really should have been. But now
credits roll.
And now she has to get fired and her license is revoked and she's probably going to get thrown in jail.
She's going to be put in jail for life by those evil ACLU bastards.
The puppet masters.
The shadow government. Why did that kid not get in trouble for having his cell phone in class?
Because it's
That's my question.
No, this is why. Because it's 2016. That's it. Like, it's...
Oh. That reminds me. I read this the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the theater that it was.
AMC.
Was it AMC? You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
They were going to devote a section, either a separate theater or a section of the theater, to people that want to text. And that way they could keep their phones out. Because the guy, I wish I had the exact quote, but he basically said asking a young person in 2016 to turn off their phone is like asking them to cut off their arm.
Yeah.
Because people can't stay off their phone for more than 5 seconds. So...
It's-
And Allie's throwing stuff at me now.
Because clearly, you actively pointed at her.
Well, they didn't see that. That was a great visual gag.
That's
for the audio podcast, no.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, no.
They quickly went back on it.
Did they?
Yeah.
All I saw was that initial and just like people like, this is dumb.
The backlash was so great. Because I don't want to go see God's Not Dead Part 2 and have some jackass teenager over there texting about it. You know, I want to see my movie.
I paid my $14.
And if you're like me, I know you've been in the theater, and somehow, even though it is 2016, at some point in the movie, you're guaranteed to hear that same ringtone from Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
Someone's got that ringtone, and they get a phone call in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they answer it. And they try to be as low as possible. And I don't understand that. How is this new?
It's something that I always do. I always put it on silent, and then I lower the brightness.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, Batman v Superman, I checked my phone, like, 6 times. Because I'm like, wait, okay, the movie started at 2. It's a 2-hour, 45-minute movie. Oh, it's only 3. Oh, it's 3:30? Are you kidding? Okay. But I know, like, doing that, even just, like, quickly, turning on your phone, checking the time, and turning it off, like, that can distract people.
Yeah, especially in a dim-lit theater like that.
Right. So I always, bright. Like, I always make every effort to try to, like, I keep my phone low. I make sure the brightness is all the way down.
Yeah.
Like, and even still, like, just suck it up, me. Just don't.
Don't check your phone.
Don't check your phone. You don't need to know what time it is.
Right. Like, I now just throw my phone in the car. I leave my phone in the car when I go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. I wrote an article on Blogzilla 1985 a year and a half ago about, you know, Demi Lovato? You know of Demi,
yeah.
Demi Lovato?
Mm-hmm.
They did this commercial campaign where she did hashtag X.
Yeah.
Hashtag X to all your friends and family, meaning don't text me while I'm driving. I'm about to drive. Don't text me.
Yep.
Or don't look at your fucking phone. There's the easy solution.
Yeah.
Asking a young person to not check their phone is like cutting their arm off.
I don't know why, but you saying that reminded me of this thing that no one else is bothered by this. I am aware that this is just me being crazy, but it gets under my skin every single time because a pet peeve of mine is being late and when people are late. So like if a movie starts at 4, I'm in the theater at 4:50. Or 3:50.
About to say, Jesus, like,
yeah,
Asa.
I'm bad at movies, guys. No, I'm at the theater, like, in my seat at 3:50. And so when you get there that early, they have, like, movie vision or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, the terrible,
and it's like,
terrible stuff.
What action series cemented Harrison Ford's career? Was it Indiana Jones, Finding Nemo,
Barbershop,
or Seinfeld? Like, come on, it's so stupid. And like little 30-minute music video clips. And so it's annoying. And so I'll sit on my phone during that. But the thing that bugs me, and I don't know why, it's like a bug. It just burrows under my skin. I can't shake the hatred for it. But at the very end, right before the preview start, they say, and thanks for watching. Motherfucker, you have a giant screen directly in front of me, and I have no choice.
Yeah.
You are doing this to me.
You watch what they want you to watch.
Like, I can't, I don't, if I had a choice, I would turn you off. I would change the channel. But for what, just the, and thanks for watching. Like, no.
Or when they say,
it's like, hey, thanks for flying your only airline.
The only way to get across the place.
Right.
Even more than that, and I agree with you.
Okay, good. As long as it's like, as long as one person also is like, no, yeah, that's dumb.
It sounds condescending. Like, thanks for watching. But when they also go, we just hooked you up with the newest trailers, news from you. Like, you gave me a 20-second soundbite for nothing.
You gave me a 30. You showed me 30 seconds of a music video that left the top 40 2 years ago.
Yeah. You asked me a question. There was one time, legitimately, it was like, this actor starred in Reservoir Dogs, blah, 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 and it was a mixed up name. And it said Michael Madsen. You know what the name was? Michael Madsen. Are you kidding me? And then they're like, thanks for playing.
Like, you did great.
I'm sure I did. I'm sure a retarded chicken would have got that right. Why retarded and chicken popped into my head at the same time?
The future. I don't know why, but it just popped into the Futurama episode where they're, if you want to see Calculon race to the special effects factory in a laser fight, press 1. If you want to see him finish his taxes, press 2. You pressed 2. No, I didn't. I'm almost positive you did.
And then it literally cuts to a shot of him doing his taxes.
Ah, there we go.
Oh. Oh, I'm glad. I completely agree with you. That drives me crazy, too. I would rather just sit in silence.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit and on my phone mm-hmm. until the movie starts.
Or, like, talking to the people you're at the movie with.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching.
Bob used to lie to me. And if we were going to watch a movie, if the movie was at 3:30, he would tell me it was at 3:10. Because I'm always late, so I have to get there early to be there on time.
My family does that to a family friend of ours for anytime we have like a family gathering. It's like, oh, we're going to eat at 12. We're not eating until 1.
Yeah, but we just want to make sure you're there.
Because they're kind of notorious for showing up. Like, if we say we're going to eat at 12, she will get there at 11:58, eat, and then immediately leave. And so it's like, oh yeah, so we're gonna eat at noon. Oh, you know, it's just it hasn't, you know, we had to put it in the oven again. It's
had to double bake.
It'll be ready in about 30 minutes.
Had to refry the beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why you go refry some beans? Why don't you fry it up right the first time? That's from Tales from the Hood.
Right.
That was a good movie. We all like that. All right, Asa, that's pretty much gonna do it for us today. But before we go, give you a little preview of tomorrow. It's gonna be a big Pro Wrestling Unscripted because we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Before we mention that,
we're not going to spoil it, but there is big TNA news.
Yes, possible investors.
That's all we're going to say right now.
If you're a fan of specific parties,
that's all we're going to say.
You'll be excited. Also on Raw, and someone clickbaited me. There was a clickbait article online that said Bullet Club reunites on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact, yes, former members of the Bullet Club did do stuff together,
mm-hmm.
but they did not refer to them, as far as I know, as the Bullet Club, and they were not together.
No.
What? I hate clickbait. Well, I could do a whole show on those damn articles that say, what happened
so
when
this... So the title of this podcast is, You Won't Believe What Happens When Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man
I did
reunite.
I did that once.
Did you?
I did, as a joke. I was like, you won't believe what happened when these four people sat down to do a podcast. What happens next will leave you in tears.
Minute 14 will leave you speechless.
You won't believe what happened at the 7-minute mark.
Yeah.
And then it's just me going like, yeah, well, it was a good show. I can't believe how good it was. God, that killed journalism for me. The internet has killed journalism, for the most part.
Yeah,
For every live leak, and you guys give me shit about live leak all the time,
mm-hmm.
but for every live leak that shows uncensored news, there is BuzzFeed or one of the 500 different sites that will tell you what not to wear as a mom.
I think it's Clickhole, but there's a website that does nothing but makes, like, it just generate. I think it might just generate
clickbait
titles. And it's kind of amazing.
There was a really good internet video I saw once of how to, like, boost your views. And it was literally them telling you how to write a really good clickbait headline.
Mm-hmm.
And that works. Because, like, I'm a big fan of do you know Michael Jai White?
Yeah.
The actor?
Mm-hmm.
I have him on Facebook. All he posts constantly is clickbait. Everything I see from him is, it'll just say, like, wow, I can't believe this. And the article will say, you won't believe what happened when this mom did this.
Right.
This homeless person asked for a dollar. What the guy did next will leave you in tears.
Yeah.
I hate that so mm-hmm. much. That's like when that girl, there was a girl that called Lindsay. I told this story before. She called Lindsay once. I know it's different, and I've gotten shit about this before, but she called her, and instead of saying, Lindsay, my mom passed away, I need to talk, she said, something terrible happened, you need to call me back. That drives me crazy, too.
Right.
It's like, tell me why I need to call you back.
And whenever it's, you know, as far as, like, websites doing it as titles, it's very clear. It's just like, okay, we're not confident enough in the story.
Right.
So we can't just say, homeless man asks person for a dollar, person then drives him to his home, gets him a new set of clothes, and offers him a job.
Or usually it's completely boring. It's like, homeless man asks for a dollar, man gives it to him.
Man gives him a $5.
Homeless man
doesn't
thanks
ask
him
for change.
Yeah. The clickbait is how they get you.
Yeah, so it's you're clearly not, you're not comfortable enough with the story itself drawing in views, so you have to create this, like, fake air of intense mystery.
Yeah.
That
has not worked for this show.
Right. Which is why, the Conan bits about, like, top BuzzFeed, rejected BuzzFeed lists.
That's one of my favorites. The one where the blind man reads curse words in Braille on fruit. all right, that's actually going to do it for us this time. Asa, it's always a pleasure.
Lots of fun.
Yeah. Allie, thanks for being here and not hitting me. What?
The second half was more fun than...
Oh, I agree.
The seriousness.
But I feel like the first half's important.
No, yeah, it's important, and it was good. It's just...
It lets people know more about me.
Right.
And the horrible existence that I live.
The whole reason that we started this thing, that you started this thing.
We. Even though you weren't directly involved with it at all.
Even a little.
And I didn't even know Allie really at the time. I sort of knew you. Stop doing that. Stop looking shocked all the time. Like, by now you should be used to the things I say. Anyway.
What Shannon says next will leave you stunned.
Left her in tears.
Aww.
Because I hit her.
No!
Oh! No!
No!
No! No. All right, so tomorrow, if Allie hasn't quit, she'll be on Pro-Wrestling Unscripted with me, Asa, Dalton, and then we'll be back on Thursday with some kind of new show we haven't yet decided on. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, and have a great evening.